that it was an expensive word. It cost you everything. So we want to receive it, Lord, with grateful hearts. We want to listen with everything that's in us, with our heart as well as our ears. And Lord, when I leave today, I want this word to change me. So here I am. I'm clay. Mold me, shape me, whatever you want to do, Lord, because I'm ready. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
How many had a birthday this week? Anybody? Happy birthday, Jess. Anybody else? Happy birthday. Anybody else? Happy birthday. We don't have that many birthdays this week. Well, I also want to wish my sister a happy birthday. She had a birthday this week. But I want to wish all you guys that had a birthday this week, happy birthday. Happy birthday, all right? And I want to say a lot of people, Will and Val, and they had some tests this week, and a lot of them don't talk about stuff like that. But all the tests worked out. Will found out he had a heart, and that's good. And Val found out she had other things, and that's good. That's fine. So God was good. God was good. God was good. God was good. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting my sister have another year on earth and many more, okay? God bless. Give it up for the Word.
Wow. Are you excited today? Wow. How could we not be, guys? Wow. How could we not be? We hear these stories. We read stories in the Bible. We hear them. We read them. We see them on TV. We see them in videos, and YouTube. We see all this stuff. We almost are over-informationalized to the point that it no longer affects us. It doesn't affect us. The stories, the reenactment, man, when I was a kid, I wish I'd seen a donkey ride into church. Yeah, a four-legged one. I saw all kinds of the others, but I mean, I've been one at times before, too. Because a donkey's nature is what? He's known for his what? Stubbornness. Of course, ain't nobody going to admit to being stubborn in here sometimes, right? I can't even get a smile from some of you. Yes, hard to lead a donkey. Sheep's a different thing. But we can be so over-informationalized that we lose the grip, the grasp of what this special day is all about. We hear there's a lot of hype about Easter, and so should there be. It's the resurrection. It's the day that Jesus got up from the tomb, Monty. Woo! You know what? If he hadn't got up from the tomb, you'd be in a heap of trouble, boy. How many knows that we need an empty tomb? Steve, did you hear me? I mean, you may be getting old like me. You may not hear like you used to, but I believe you can hear good. We need Resurrection Day. This coming Friday, today, in Jesus' day, and people didn't know that, people were in a shallow way celebrating, as he said, a king who they thought would come in a rebellious way and overthrow the Roman government. And now he's here. Get it on. Watch out, Rome. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, they were overtaxed and they were just so persecuted. And so burdened down with the Roman, government controlling, like Russia marching into Ukraine and taking over. That's what Rome had done to Israel. And they had ransacked it and set up governors and set up jurisdiction and control. There was no freedom there. And they thought when Jesus rode into town, their freedom had really come. But it wasn't the freedom that they thought was riding in that day. They thought their freedom would come with a riding on a white horse, maybe, and shiny armor with a sword and all the armory and the things that a king, a proper king, would ride in on. But Jesus came in that day riding a young colt of a donkey. And listen, promoting, listen, and telling the world that day that he had come, your king, Zechariah 9:9, your king had come riding on the colt of a donkey. That was nearly 1,000 years before Jesus ever came riding in on a donkey. And today, we're here reminded today that all this is significant. The cross, the crucifixion is important. That's Good Friday. We remember that day. We remember that day across this country. We remember Good Friday. Today, we've commercialized these things, and we've made Easter and Good Friday. We've worked it into our economy, and it's helped our economy, but we've lost the meaning and the grip of what these precious holy times are all about. We don't just do it to be doing it. We remember these days because they are landmarks. They're spiritual landmarks that have shaped our lives. I remember from a kid hearing these stories and what an impact. And by the way, I want to say this. Guys, this is a little homework here. If your parents here and your kids are teenager, encourage them to be in here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Encourage them to be in here. They need to be in here. They're old. Unless specifically they are assigned to help Myra, encourage them to be here, okay? That's really been burdening my heart. You know, you see last Sunday what happened. Are you hearing me? You see these kids coming to Jesus last Sunday? What's good enough for Mom and Papa is good enough for baby John. We teach the same spirit that moves in the heart of our big people are the same spirit that touches the hearts of our kids. And God does it. But today is a powerful celebration day. We remember these days. May they not become monotonous and to the point that we've become used to, that they have no more meaning to our heart and our life. Today marks the day beginning of Passion Week. How many's ever heard of that before? Well, for those that haven't, how many's never heard of it before, but you need to hear about it? Okay, well, there's a few of you. Some of you didn't raise your hand at all. Oh, man, you guys are rough today. And thank the Lord for Jenny the donkey. No, not that one. The one that came riding in here today, that come walking in here today. You realize what a big deal that was for that donkey? That was a special day. That was a special day. Years ago, there was a young donkey tied to a fence to a city post in the city of Jerusalem that was near Bethphage and Bethany. And I'm going to read those scriptures to you just a second. I'm going to go through this. So you better grab a hold of everything. You're going to lose something powerful right here. And so that day becomes significant to this young donkey who had never been ridden, who was unbroke, by the way. And so does that not describe us? We feel insignificant. There are people in this room who have battled your whole life on the point of significance. Do I matter? Am I important? Well, listen, who you matter to the most is the one who created you. God created you. Are you hearing me? God made you. He made you. He created you. Guess what? He just didn't make you to be a whatnot sitting on a shelf. He made you for kingdom purpose. See, some of you couldn't get into that because you don't realize you got purpose. I'm just a nobody. I'm just tied to a post somewhere. And nobody will ever think about using me. But when Jesus came and he sent his disciples looking for that donkey, things began to change. Jesus prophesied, and the man who owned the donkey didn't even realize. He just knew that God moved in his heart. Jesus had never, that we know of, had ever talked to that man about, I'm coming to Jerusalem and I'm going to need your donkey. Jesus just spoke because he was the Word, and he declared the word over that day. I'm going to need an animal to ride in on this. I could have chosen a horse. I could have chosen a big white steed or a big stallion. But today I choose the humblest of animals. I choose an animal that represents peace. And I come into Jerusalem today making peace. Yet I know that I have overcome. Because when a king, before he went into a city to overcome that city, often a real king rode into the city on a donkey, declaring that he had he had already triumphed, he had already overcome, and now he is declaring peace. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm so burdened for this. I woke up burdened. I've been burdened all week. I'm burdened for you. I'm burdened. I want people to get a hold of this. It's not just one thing for us to celebrate. It's for us to realize this moment and why and how significant and how important it is. And that you matter to God. You're important to God. You're important to God. Do you realize that? You're important. So when Jesus sent for, told his disciples and go, and said, you'll find a young colt tied. And if the owner, you get that colt, untie it and bring it to me. Right there. I want you to think about that just a second. Untie it and bring it to me. Before you can become useful in the kingdom of God, you need to get untied from some things. There's many of you here this morning couldn't enter a place of praise because you were all tied up. Tied up in your head. Tied up in your heart. Tied up. Tied up. You can't be useful in the kingdom of God if you're all tied up. You can't serve usefulness in the kingdom of God if you're tied up. If you're still struggling with addiction, if you're tied up, you can't serve. Oh, listen, you can go through the motions, but you're not really free until Jesus sets you free. Listen, there is a free, but then there is a free indeed. John 8, how many knows that? Jesus said, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. He's free from whatever holds him back, encumbers him, or ensnares him. Jesus that day, coming to Jerusalem, was declaring himself to be the liberator. And even in the word that they shouted out to Jesus, get a hold of this. Oh, Jesus, Lord. The word of God is being declared, and we're like at a ballpark, eating peanuts and popcorn. The word of the living God is being released into our atmosphere and our midst. And to many of them, it's like what Jesus witnessed that day coming into Jerusalem. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to just follow. And he looked over Jerusalem. He wept. One of the very few times in Scripture where it said Jesus wept. Why did Jesus cry? Why did he weep? Why was his heart seemingly broken? Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, how I've loved this place. I've loved this city. I love the inhabitants. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered you unto myself, but you would not. You would not. You refused. I've seen people refuse the gospel over the years. I've seen God knocking at doors and people just calloused, ignoring, paying no attention to what the Holy Spirit was saying. And their very freedom was right there before them. And they didn't recognize it. And that's what Jesus said. He said, the day of your visitation in Luke 19 has come, and you didn't even see the day of your visitation. I come among you. I dwell here. I healed the sick. I raised the dead. I walked on water. I gave sight to the blind. I caused the lame to walk. I cleansed the leper. I didn't do that for a sideshow. I didn't do that for a circus. I didn't do that to entertain you. I come that the captive can be set free. Jesus, come to set you free. To set you free. To untie you from whatever's tied you up. To untie you from whatever is holding you back. Are you with me? Oh, I've gotten ahead of myself. Lord Jesus, this is torn all to pieces. I come with this word today, this morning, to share with you. This message is for us today. Don't sit there and say, now who is this for? It's for you. It's for you. Me. Take your big finger, your pointing finger. Come on. Put it right here and say, it's for me. It's for me. It's for me. Let's quit being people who say it's for you. It's for you. It's for me. He has sent his word to heal them. There's healing and there's liberation in his word. The very thing that Jesus did that day as he entered Jerusalem was to demonstrate that he had come to save. But he, not just that moment, he'd already come. Jesus come to save, because the name Hosanna really means that he has come to save. Do you know what the word save means? That don't mean put your name on a church book. That don't mean you go to church every Sunday. What that means, save means delivered, set free from whatever has tied your soul up. There's some of you here so tied up today you can't even smile. Your smile is tied up. And like me, for years, I wore one of these plastic ones. Yeah, come on. I wore one of those plastic ones. I went to church every Sunday carrying a big 15-pound King James. And not nothing religious there. I came to church every Sunday preaching liberty and freedom to people. And my life so tied up that I didn't know if I was coming or going. Oh. The Lord said that word was for somebody this morning. You may not be amening me. That's okay. I'd rather be amening right here in your spirit, man, getting a hold of this. Because there are people in this room, you're tied up. You're tied up. Your joy's tied up. Your peace is tied up. Your victory's tied up. Your praise is tied up. Your prayer life is tied up. Your witness life is tied up. So today, Jesus has come. The King has come. He's coming again. Oh, wow. He is coming again. You know what? There should have been 150, 175 people on their feet right there. Am I not telling you the truth? The King is coming. He's coming. Listen, if he were to split the eastern sky, you hear the trumpet of God and graves break open, and you join those who need the redeeming of their bodies and spirits in the air and were changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. If Jesus were to split the eastern sky, can you sit here today and say, God, I am ready to go? You know what? If you did, then you ought to give him some praise. I know you can't praise him like you used to, but there ought to be some praise. Hallelujah. Come on, you got something to praise him. Sit there like you lost your best friend. Sit there like you've been weaned on grandma's salt pickles. You got a reason to praise him. And every time you have a moment that we come together, there are going to be those that don't understand your level of praise. Yeah, when Jesus came in that day, riding that loose donkey. Let me tell you something. Oh, Jesus. When Jesus came in riding that colt that day, there was such a disturbance in that city, although a lot of it was shallow, but maybe not all of it. But there was such festivity. As he rode into Jerusalem, palm leaves, people shouting, Hosanna, our King has come. Nobody sitting there twiddling their thumbs. Nobody sitting there, they didn't have watches back then. Nobody looking at the sun, seeing what time of the day it was. They were just lost in the moment. You know what? There should be that time in our life that we just get caught up in the moment. And quit worrying about where we are, who we with, and just give God unadulterated praise. And if for some reason you can't do that, get untied. Let me tell you what, it made the Pharisees jealous. Your exuberance and your praise and your worship going to make some people jealous. It's going to make some people jealous. It's going to make some folks. It's going to make the flesh rise up in some folks. It's going to make people say there's nothing to that. And so they came out. The Pharisees came out and they hollered out to Jesus. In the midst of that crowd, and they said, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Oh, Jesus. Now, where did that go? Oh, man. Wow. Our praise ought to be weighty like this rock. Does anybody know what that is? Jesus told the Pharisees what Miss Kathy was inspired to write and put up there. I bet some of you haven't even noticed that before. Do you want a rock crying out for you? Or are you about doing what God created you to do? God created you to praise Him. He didn't create you to sit there like an old shipmate's friend. When I got into open praise, listen, I was raised in a little Baptist-type church, ordained in that church, and, you know, people shouted. They had moments that things hit them, and they'd shout, and some of the ladies would shout their hairpins out of their hair. Listen, they'd shout, and they'd cry. I remember my mom crying and slapping her hands and just crying her eyes out in a little small church years ago. Just testifying, because when she rolled into that church that day, she had oppression. She had persecution. Listen, she was trying to minister to an alcoholic husband who abused her, who cheated on her, who did all these things, and yet she chose to praise him anyway. What's your excuse? She chose to praise him anyway. She chose to praise him anyway. In spite of your diagnosis, in spite of what the world tells you, you praise him anyway. And so Jesus said, if my disciples didn't praise me right now, these mountains would start crying out right now. I've often thought of that. Why do we have so many earthquakes? Maybe it's because we've lost our praise. Maybe because people have shut their mouth. Listen, the devil wants you to shut up. He don't want you to be the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus. He don't want you to tell your story. He don't want you to get your praise. And whatever he uses, whatever he can use to quiet you up, he'll quiet you up. Until you say, I've come to praise the one who has set my spirit free. Because you're not here because of me. You're not here because of him. We're not here because of each other. We're here because of him who rode in to town that day. The one, Selena, who rode into town that day and said, I have come to set the captive free. He come to set marriages free. He come to set people away from sinful lifestyles, perverted sex, perversion. It's how culture and society changes and how we change. And how we're so easy to accept things that seem to be normal. We live in a very broken world. We're not supposed to be the brokenness among the broken. We're supposed to be the broken who's been healed and getting healed and being set free. Some people can look at you and say, Jesus makes a difference. Oh, if they don't praise me, the rocks and the mountains are going to cry out. You want a rock crying out and praising Jesus for you? Are you ready to get your praise on today? Being raised in that denominational church years ago, people used to feel like, well, you know, I don't know. My mom would walk away from a service like that. She said, oh, she says, I feel so clean. Can you hear my mom saying that? I feel so clean inside and out. You know what? Listen. Oh, you'd be surprised what God would do if you would just get untied from yourself and from other things and just rear back and have your moment with God and quit worrying about who's around you. Well, well, well. So, Lord Jesus, I do want to read the scriptures, and we're ready to. He's come to untie you. You got to get a hold of this, because if you don't get a hold of this, you're going to miss something very, very important right here. This is what Jesus told the disciples to tell the owner of the colt. There is somebody who has owned you for years. It's ownership. The devil has owned aspects of your life for years. He's controlled your mind, your will, your thinking. He's robbed you from liberty. He's robbed you from that freedom. He's robbed you from that. He's kept you from God's purpose. Everybody in this room, you're born with purpose. Whether you live out that purpose is up to you entirely. But God made you for a purpose. Guess what? He made you for this day. Let me hear it. You're quiet here. What did he tell Esther? What did Mordecai tell Esther? Come on, come on. For you were born into this kingdom for such a time as this. You're here for now. You're here to make a difference. You're here to make an impact. You're here. You're here. God wants to use you to make a difference in people's lives. I was born for this time. I was born for this moment. My whole life has God's been getting me ready for this moment. Oh, let me tell you a dream. This past week I was dreaming, and the room must have been a worship center or something like this. There were people in the room, and I didn't know who exactly. But then there's this music I had never heard of before. This strong, powerful music in this room. And this building had a big window, a big picture glass window on one side. And there was a serpent with a strange-looking head on this serpent, slithering on the outside of that window, trying to get in. Trying to get in. That was significant. That was significant. Then the music begin to intensify. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Revelation 5. Behold the Lion. In other words, look. I didn't see. And then suddenly my sight and my mind was taken to something in the room that was more significant than the serpent slithering and trying to get in through the window. I saw a king in a long robe, very tall, with the head of a lion and a crown on his head. Music began to intensify. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as soon as I saw that, you know what happened? That window smashed, and the serpent in it smashed. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, has prevailed. He has overcome. Jesus has overcome. Jesus has overcome. I said, Jesus. Jesus has overcome. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting it, Evie? Jesus has overcome. That's what the Lord was communicating to me in that dream. And as soon as that window was smashed, people around me began to be called up. Whoa, people began to be called up. I began to run to try to catch those. And when I began to run, I thought maybe it was Kathy. We began to run, and we just began to lift off. We just lifted off with those. I don't know what else was happening. Something was changing. I don't know. But let me tell you something. Something is changing today. I said something is changing. You know why? Because your change has come. Oh, you missed that. Your change has come. He came riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. And he says, I'm here to change things. I'm here to make a difference. Wow. Man, the music. I don't recall hearing music like that. But it was to the beat. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There was a beat to it. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. You may look at Jesus as being a crucified martyr. But I look at him as being a victorious king. Because Jesus came that day to overcome whatever you're struggling with today. He came to overcome whatever you're struggling with. He overcome it. He overcome it. He overcome it. He don't have to come and sit among us and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with Allison? Oh, what am I going to do with Allison? What am I going to do with Allison? He already came to overcome what you're going through. Are you getting that? Told me he already came. He's conquered. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He took the keys from Satan himself. Satan had us bound, enslaved, tied up, chained up. But Jesus, oh, Jesus, defeated death, Satan, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah! The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Whoa! That's what Luke 19 and every gospel pictured that day on that triumphal entry. People didn't understand the depths of their praise and their worship. They didn't understand. They were caught up in a political atmosphere, a rally. They thought, but Jesus, oh, overcome more things than they could ever imagine. There's things in your life you're overcoming beyond what you can imagine. I said beyond what you can imagine. I said, beyond what you can imagine. Loosen up, loosen up, loosen up. Hallelujah. I've already freaked Nathan out. You've got some moves in you yet that's not been moved. I mean, how many know some of you got some moves in you right now that's not been moved yet? Don't act all tied up around me. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you too much to leave you there. God loves us too much to leave us tied up. He didn't go to all that expense to leave you tied up. He came to set you free. Oh, Jesus. Now as the time drew near, Luke 19, when he said this, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem. We miss details, don't we? I need to glue this thing on my ear. Today, God's taking you up. He loves you too much to leave you down there. You're going up. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going up. You're not going down. If you're going down, it's time to change your direction. They're going up to Jerusalem, the city of David, the city on a hill, the place where Abraham offered Isaac. Wow. Mount Moriah, the same city, going up to Jerusalem, the city of God. Mount Zion, the traveling up. You're going up. I'm going up. Are you going up? We're going up. We're going up to the high places. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. Are you going up? Are you going up? Jason, are you going up? Life will tell you you're going down. Life will tell you, and friends and people, they're not friends. People will tell you you're not significant, you're not important, you don't matter. There's no usefulness about your life. But Jesus says, I've got a purpose. And that purpose is for you today. Jesus changed the life of that little animal that day. Just a significant little animal tied to a post in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem. Do what, bub? He was born for that day. See, let me show you how deep God is. You know the cross that Jesus died on? How many knows that? It came from a what? Not a piece of steel, Toby. It came from what? A tree. Do you know that God planted that tree? Do you know when he planted it? He said, this is for my son. When he put that seed in the ground, he said, this will be the tree that my son hangs on. I've got a purpose for everything I do. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose for everything I do. I've got a purpose in store for you. I've got a purpose. Tied there. What was different about that day? Something's getting ready to change. What's different about this day? Something getting ready to change. Oh, and tell that owner, you'll see a young colt, untie it. Ooh, I love this part. How we leave things out and overlook them. Untie it and bring it to me. Oh, I love the way the Lord says that. Untie her and bring her to me. Untie him and bring him to me. Untie him and bring him to me. Austin, I told you this in counseling, didn't I? You know what I'm getting ready to say. This is a new married couple, young married couple right here sitting today. And I told them that sometimes we only see the significance important what is visible, what seems to be evident or apparent to us. But God sees so much more than that. So I told Austin, I said, yes, I know it seems to be about Tiffany, but no, Austin, it's more about what God wants to do in your life. Isn't it amazing what God has to do to change and rearrange, Hunter, the things in our life to make it about His purpose, not about us? Untie him and bring him to me, the Lord says, because I need him. Whoa, you missed that one, didn't you? The Lord says, I need her. I need Johnny. Kate, did you get a hold of that, brother? The Lord said to Keith McCracken, who maybe felt much of your life as insignificant, but God says it's important enough that I created him for my glory and for my purpose. Boy, how we try to get in the way of God's purpose. How we try to get in the way of God doing things in our life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't lose this moment. I'm telling you, folks, don't lose this moment. God made that donkey for that day. He made you for this day. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Untie him. Untie her. Untie Holly. Untie her from addiction. Untie her from drugs. Untie her from addictive behavior. Untie her. Untie her. Untie him. Untie him. Untie them from religious spirits. Untie them from religious spirits. Untie them from unforgiveness. There are some of you here right now struggling with forgiving people. You're struggling because you're holding all against people. You're holding grievances against people. It's not in so much in what you say, but it's more about what you do. You got to get untied from that. Jesus says you can't enter the kingdom of God with unforgiveness. You expect me to forgive you? You're asking me to forgive you, and you will not forgive your brother or your sister? People need to get untied from prejudicial behaviors, racism, hatred, and violence. Even if it's not so much in the action of your hands and feet, it's in your mind and your thinking. God wants to set you free from stinky thinking. We're entering a kingdom of God that is made of pure love. And that's why Jesus is getting us ready right here. Untie them, bring them to me. Untie them and bring them to me. And when they brought that coat, untie them. I don't know what you need to be untied from this morning. Some of you sit there wallowing in a mountain of fear and worry and anxiety. All we see is the news. All we see is violence. All we see. Some of you are addicted to wrong news. Some of you are tied to your social media. Oh boy, got quiet there. No amens, Lord, on that one. No amens on that. I see some of you right now getting off of there right now. I see. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you. Somebody thought they apologized the other day for something they didn't even do. And they said, Pastor R., I'm so afraid you'll think I'm sitting there on Facebook. And I promise you, I'm not. I'm taking notes. I said, praise the Lord. Somebody listen to what I've got to say. And if you're sitting there shopping, if you're sitting there doing a shopping list, you're sitting there talking on Facebook, you're sitting there tweeting somebody, then you need to get set free. You need to get untied from what's tying you. Bring them to me. I'm closing. Bring them to me. This is when things changed. I don't know what. There's been things in my life that God has been untying me from in layers. And I could not stand here today and said that there's still not things that I still need to get untangled from. I hate that tangle fishing twine. I don't know. I have spent hours untangling knots in my fishing line. I have missed the biggest catches by getting my line tangled up. I know. You'd be surprised what we're missing by just staying tangled up. All knotted up in my fear. All knotted up in depression. All knotted up in anxiety. All knotted up. All knotted up. Untie me, Lord. So they untied them. I don't know what you need to be free from this day, but the liberator has come. He's come to set the captive free, and that's what he was saying that day. I've not come to set a nation free. I've come to set the universe free. I've come to set people free in their hearts, in their minds. So they brought the coat and her mommy to, and its mommy to Jesus. Nothing really changed until Miss Kathy said this. They put, the one translation said they put prayer cloths. Stay with me. They put prayer cloths upon the donkey. They put cloaks, some translation said, upon the donkey. Many others put cloaks in front of the donkeys as Jesus rode it. And palm leaves. There was a purpose for that. We don't have time for all that. But they put it upon that little animal. Nothing changed until Jesus sat on that donkey. Nothing will change until you let Jesus sit on your heart. We were created to carry the weightiness of His glory. We were created to be the vehicles of His glory, of His presence. We were created to carry the presence of Jesus. Do you know that? How many knew that? Do you ever think about it that way? Like that donkey was created to carry Jesus that day. You were made to carry the presence of Jesus on the earth today. And wherever God uses you, whatever venue, whatever part of life that you're placed in, God made you to ride into that place and make a difference to those that God releases you to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're a school teacher, then make a difference. Love kids. Love them like they're your own. Love them like there's nobody's business. Love them like they got a future. Love them like they got purpose. Love them like they're somebody. And they're important. Love people that way. Love people that way. You only got one time to love people, and it's right now. Not when the breath is leaving you, say, oh, Jesus, I wish I just done. Yeah, I know we probably all want to be about that some. Lord, I've left things out, and I've been undone with a lot of things. But, Lord, this is a time right now. God created you to carry the weightiness of God, the presence of God into this earth. God come to set you free and use you. And I'm not even going to read the scripture because I see the time. But I was starting to read Luke 19. I'm going to challenge all of you to read that. Actually, we went through the scriptures and without even having to read it, but it's in all four gospels. But the part I was going to read to you was Luke 19 and 28 through 40. Wow. Wow. That very day, one of the first physical acts that Jesus did was demonstrate something powerful. He came into Jerusalem and he saw the temple of God being ransacked by people who were making a profit, using God to make a profit. We got to be careful how we use God. Not for our gain, for his glory. How many sees that? Not for our gain, for his glory. Not for my gain, for his glory. For his glory. And so he saw his father's house, the house of prayer, being abused. And tables been set up and the money exchangers. It wasn't the fact that they were trading goods, because that was typical to sell sacrifices to the people who didn't come to Jerusalem with sacrifices. But they were making gain. They were robbing people. They were robbing people. They were taking advantage of people. And so Jesus took a whip, a cord, I don't know. We don't have a lot of specifics. He got a piece of rope or something, and he becomes so upset and so angry. Jesus had a righteous indignation that day. And he went through the temple turning over tables and telling the money exchangers, shouting and telling them to leave because they had turned the Father's house, which was a house of prayer, into a house that they were gaining and making money. Jesus overturned. Jesus came that day and he overturned things. Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day to change the course of humankind, to change the course of humanity. Jesus was saying, I'm riding in today to tell you I have come to set you free. Throughout this week, I'm going to be posting things about the Passion Week. It would be awesome if some of you would even look at those. Wednesday night, we're going to celebrate the Last Supper here. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table, communion here. We're going to celebrate the time when Jesus sat with the last time and he celebrated this powerful holy feast with his disciples. It has so much meaning. But the very week following Jesus' triumphal entry, every day Jesus ministered some powerful aspect of that passion before he would eventually go to the cross, which is on Friday. How many sees what I'm talking about today? Did I lose you? Are you with me still? How many still with me? You didn't check out? I'm not going to say nothing if you didn't. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Are you hearing it? It's time you get untied. How many years have you been tied up? Get untied, for the Lord needs you. Can I say this? Get untied. The Lord needs you, and these pastors need you. We need you. This is no time for you to be checking out. We're getting ready to all check out. Oh, you missed that one. I said, we're all getting ready to check out. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, get to your feet. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Has prevailed. He's prevailed. He's overcome. He's overcome. I thought, wow, what a powerful image. Can I say, can I be real transparent? Josh, I was terrified, but not in a bad way. That's sort of strange, isn't it? There was this reverent fear. In my sleep, I felt glory bumps go all over my body. I started shaking. I was scared. That thing, there was a reverential fear that rose up in me. I was scared. Not necessarily for me, but in all of what was happening in that dream. I began to shake. I began to shake, and I felt stuff running all over me. In my sleep, how many's ever been awakened with that kind of dream before? Nobody? Wow, you guys are awesome. You've never had a nightmare? You've never had a dream before that scared you? Come on, be real with me, guys. Miss Celine, have you ever had a dream like that before? You woke up and you were sort of shaking inside? Where's Joe? Where's Joe? Have you been waking with a dream like that? Where's Joe? Where's Joe? Where's Joe? Come on. Have you ever been awakened with a dream like that? Come on, all you macho men. Have you been awakened? Where's Kathy? Where's Kathy? This is a day for you to wake up. You've got purpose. God has a plan for your life. Quit checking out on him. This is the time to get in the plan. Let him set upon you. Let his glory set upon you. Reside in you. He's got a thing he wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Are you ready, Jesse? Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready for purpose. Look here. Stuart, listen. I said, Steve, I need you to keep this donkey. Jody and I, several years ago, went and got that donkey way over near Tazewell. And some people laughed at us. They still laugh at us. A church owns a donkey. Well, now, wow, what about that? This little girl's brother, early before the service started, I said, have you ever seen somebody bring a donkey in to church before? He said, no, I never did see it. I've seen a cat in church, but I've never seen a donkey in church. But you know what? One day Steve will stand before the Lord and said, I give an assignment to you to take care of a little Jerusalem donkey who wore a cross on his back. That may have not done anything to you. Today you may be so caught up in your own world, you wasn't even paying attention to a donkey even being in church. That's how tied up we can get. We can get so tied up. If Jesus come and sat down right beside us, we'd still be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus sat among us today. Jesus sat among you today. Where? I didn't see him. Where is he? Where was he? He was demonstrating your praises and your stewardship. They went through a lot of effort, as Heath already pointed out. Jody coming from Tennessee, bringing his trailer, loading this donkey. Steve practicing, bringing her in the church so she'd behave in the right way. A lot to it. And I'm not saying that to brag and boast on Steve. He's humble. But what I'm saying is today, God has a purpose for life. And Steve's purpose is more than just taking care of donkeys. It's way beyond that. But God has a reason for you today. He has a purpose for you today. Let him set upon you. Just lift your hands to the Father right now and say, Father, set upon me today. When he truly sets upon you, things change. His glory changes things. The atmosphere changes. Your life changes. Your purpose will begin to change. Your expectation will begin to change. Things change. You begin to sense something if you really do it. If you really do it, if you're really surrendering today. The master of that donkey, he didn't even know why he was doing it. The Lord says if he asks you, then just say the Lord needs him. And listen, he didn't argue. He didn't fuss. He just surrendered the reins to that. Wowee. Some of you need to give the reins of your heart to the King today as he sets upon you. Some of you need to release. You need to just open your heart and allow the King of Glory to set upon you. Quit running from him. Quit avoiding him. Quit hiding from him. Just surrender. Say, Lord, I give you permission. Use my life. I may not be much, but Lord, take what I have. I don't feel very important, but God, Lord, if there's something in me you can use right now, I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender your lordship. I surrender you, Lord. I surrender my talent. I surrender my abilities. I surrender my time. I surrender, Lord. It's not me, oh Lord. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you, Jesus. It's about you. It's about you, Lord. God loves you today. He loves you like he does all of his creation today. God, he made you special for this day, Bethany. He made you special for this day.